John chapter 3, I'd like for us to look together from verse 14 down through verse number 21. And I want to speak to you briefly tonight about God's gift to the world. Christmas is God's gift. We've been all month looking at that theme as we've gone through several passages of Scripture. James 1 calls it the perfect gift. Romans 6 says that God's gift is eternal life. Romans 5 talks about it's a free gift and that it is the righteousness of Christ. Ephesians 2, where we were yesterday morning, speaks of it being not of works. And then here tonight, I want to just focus in on John chapter number 3, very familiar passage of Scripture for you on God's gift to the world. Let's read God's Word together. John chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, thank you for your gift that you have given to us in sending Christ Jesus to the world to accomplish our redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Now, as we consider this one final time for the Christmas season, I ask for your blessing upon this time. Bless your word, and through the power of your Holy Spirit, we ask that you would save and sanctify. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. God's gift is Jesus Christ. He is what Christmas is all about. Christmas is a celebration, then, of Jesus' coming. The early Christians, the early Israelites, the early people who were called God's people, awaited Jesus' first coming, His first advent. Now we, God's people in this age, await His second coming, His second advent. That's what these candles are about and this wreath. But all in all, we celebrate tonight that He came, and though He has gone away, He is coming again. I want to recite for you the poem, He Came, by Willard G. Thomas. He came from a mansion to a manger. He came from streets of gold to a stable cold. He came from royal robes to swaddling clothes. He came from His Father's world to a Jewish girl. He came from the angel's praise to the shepherd's gaze. He came from that city afar to a wise man's star. He came from perfection to rejection. He came from the throne room of God to the stable's sod. He came from all that's good and pure and holy to all that's base and vile and lowly. He came. He wrapped our injured flesh around Him. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And He did this to rob us of our sin and to make us holy. Praise God for that. I want to give you three headings tonight, and these are there in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along. We were in darkness. God gave. Light has come. We were in darkness. Verse 14 and 15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. In Numbers chapter number 21, we have the story of where Israel had rebelled against God, and to punish them for their sins, God sent serpents and bit the people so that many died. Aren't you glad that you're a New Testament church and not Israel in the Old Testament? This is very intense. But God is gracious. And gracious God had Moses intercede for the people and provided a remedy. He told Moses to make a brass serpent and to lift it up on a pole for all to see. And anyone who looked on the serpent would immediately be healed. So we have a story from Numbers 21 of God's grace through faith. The people were sinful. They deserved to be bitten and die. But God was gracious and He provided a way of salvation for them. If they would by faith just look on salvation, they would be redeemed. They would be forgiven. They would be spared. John, in verse number 14, uses that story to bring to our minds the point of Christ. Sinful people deserve death, but Jesus was lifted up on a cross. Now, whoever believes in Him has eternal life. We were in darkness. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The sting of eventual death was our only future. But then light came into the world. God gave. Verse number 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. How many of you, that's the first verse you ever learned in the Bible? How many of you, that's the first verse you ever saw in a baseball stadium watching on TV? Okay, all right. Verse 17 gives further explanation. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. The point of our gathering here tonight is to not bring condemnation, but to bring the love of God, the light of Christ, of Christmas, into the lives and hearts and homes of many. Amen. Now certainly, on one extent, it does bring condemnation. And we'll get to verse 18 here in just a moment. But initially, I want you to know that God loved the world so much that He became flesh. That He fought every temptation known to humankind without sin. That He gave His life on a cross so that you might be redeemed. God gave. Christmas is for our salvation. Oh, what love. Love came down at Christmas. God is love. He does not delight in the death of the wicked. He delights in salvation. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. I love the poem, Love Came Down, by Christina Rossetti. She writes, love came down at Christmas. Love all lovely, love divine. Love was born at Christmas. Star and angels gave the sign. Worship we the Godhead, love incarnate, love divine. Worship we our Jesus, but wherewith for sacred sign? Love shall be our token. Love be yours and love be mine. Love to God and all men. Love for plea and gift and sign. Can you imagine that in your minds? Love coming down from God out of heaven to a sinful earth. We can imagine it in human form. That's easy for us. But the Bible is clear that God so loved the world that He gave His Son. It was love coming down, the love of God. So we were in darkness, but God gave. He gave the perfect gift, the first gift for that first Christmas. And now light has come into the world. That's why we light so many candles. As a reminder throughout the month of December that light is coming to the world through the birth of Jesus Christ. Light has come into a very dark world. This results either in your salvation or in your condemnation. Verse number 18 tells us that if your trust is in Jesus, who is the light of the world, you are not condemned. It reads, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Sadly, verse number 19 tells us why anyone would never accept God's gift. Why anyone would never just forego simple belief, faith, trust. It's because they love darkness rather than life. And this is the condemnation. That light is coming to the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Those of you who've been saved, you've been redeemed, you have light in your life now. But those of you who would put off this great gift of salvation that God has provided to all who have sinned, the reasoning is simple. Whatever words come out of your mouth by way of explanation, whatever thoughts come across your mind to justify within yourselves remaining an unbeliever, is pointless. It's meaningless. The truth is simply you love the darkness that you're in more than the light that God would give you. Amen. You have convinced yourself that remaining in darkness will give you more pleasure than moving into the light of Christ. We were in darkness. God gave, and now light has come. Don't stay in the darkness. Amen. Verse number 20 tells us that we who are sinful, who remain sinful, love their evil deeds more than they love Jesus. And that brings it home just a little more, doesn't it? It's one thing to say that we love our darkness more than we love light. Because when I have a migraine headache, I would prefer to be in the darkness than in the light. But when you start saying things like, you love the things that you love to do that are sinful more than you love Jesus, who was born of a baby in a manger and died on the cross for your sins, that hurts our feelings a little bit. Look at verse number 20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Who is the light? Jesus. It's funny to say anyone here tonight would hate Jesus. But John went so far as to say that. So when you love evil, you're hating the light. You're hating Jesus. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You don't want to come to Jesus because you don't want your life to change from what it is right now. Sadly, the end for that route leads to death. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. And then in verse number 21, the explanation goes further to say that those who remain in darkness trust in self rather than trusting in God. And that is the point of it all. It's just easier to trust me. I can control my actions. I can control my words most of the time. I can handle my own thoughts. It's all very tangible. But to trust in God is something that is a little bit more difficult. It's a little less tangible. It's intangible. It's abstract. So we remain unsaved because we can't seem to be able to take the trust out of our own hands, put our trust in God, to put our trust in Jesus Christ, His Son. Verse 21, but he that doeth truth cometh to light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. God's gift to the world is Jesus. Light has come into the world. The greatest gift that you will ever receive at Christmas time or any time is the true gift of Christmas. It is to be born again. Notice verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What are you hoping for at the end of this life? It's hard to place your trust in God through your first birth. But it's very simple. In fact, all you can do is trust God in a second birth to be born again. Nicodemus was a little confounded by that. He said, how can I be born when I am old? It is a spiritual birth. It is you allowing God the Father to regenerate you, to make you new, to ultimately fix you up. If you're like me, a month of feasting and festivities has left you longing for January the 2nd. Because everything's going to change on January the 2nd. I'm going to eat better. Can I get an amen? I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to take my vitamins. I'm going to go to the doctor like I should. Because I just feel so awful the way I've been living. And we joke about that in the physical sense. But that's exactly how we are in the spiritual sense. Oh, I'm going to go to church just a little more. I'm going to try to read the Bible. Or I'm going to try to pray more. I'm going to turn over a new leaf spiritually, which you can never do. You're born a reprobate. You were born depraved. And I'm not saying this to offend you. Well, maybe a little bit to offend you. But I was born that way as well. The children that I birthed into this world through the grace of God were born this way as well. But we don't have to remain that way.
That's right.
That is the truth of Christmas. That is the gift of Christmas. That is the light of Christmas. Sadly, it's too easy to overthink it, to overcomplicate it, and not allow ourselves simply to be born again by faith. In the early 1960s, the great Swiss theologian Karl Barth had come to America and was giving a series of lectures in the big cities. He went to Chicago. He went to Princeton, New Jersey. And as a part of giving those lectures, they allowed a little bit of Q&A with Karl Barth. And in a very American way, someone asked him one time, they said, Dr. Barth, what is the greatest thought that has ever passed through your mind? That's something to ponder, isn't it? Especially if you're a noted theologian or any sort of scholar. Most of us, our spouse, could tell us the greatest thought that's ever passed through our minds. But it would take me a minute to think of it and figure out what it is. Barth paused for a while. He was obviously considering his answer. And then he raised his head and he said with grace and with a childlike simplicity, in answer to the question, what is the greatest thought that has ever passed through your mind? This noted theologian, this man of many words, his reply was simple. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. It doesn't have to be more difficult than that. This is Christmas. This is the very thing that makes Christmas merry. So have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let Jesus be a part of it, and all things will be made new. I would end tonight with "I Am So Glad" by Grace Snow Crowell. She wrote, "I am so glad he was not born in some rich palace bed. I am so glad to know it was a lowly place instead. A place where soft-eyed cows and sheep were sheltered and were fed. For to the country born of earth, a stable will ever be. A wholesome place where night comes down with its tranquility. A place of heart's ease and content for all who choose to see. And so I like to think of him first opening his eyes in that good elemental place beneath the friendly skies, that the men of fields could find him there as well as the great and wise. We were in darkness. God gave. Light has come into the world. He came. Love came down at Christmas. And I am so glad that he came in a way that the men of the earth could find him and the men of the palaces could find him. For all who would call upon the name of the Lord could be saved. Praise the Lord for that. Amen.